Lecture topic, Blessings of a Simple Marriage, Part 1.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmid deen wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مؤونة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, as humans, many a times we enter into relations and we sign agreements which later we regret. But we cannot retract simply because there is a child in the marriage or there is a binding agreement, there is a penalty clause. So the repercussions of retracting sometimes are more devastating. Hence we are compelled to contend and to live with the decision that we have made, as bitter as it is. We've employed the man and we've signed an agreement for 4 years. We've got to put up with him for 4 years. We put a tenant in a place and we've signed a lease agreement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us in the Quran that He has created us, but He can substitute us at any time. He doesn't have to live with us. إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. Allah says, if at any time I decide to replace you, I substitute you. And what do I do with you? وَنُنْشِئَكُمْ فِي مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I relocate you to a place which is not even known to you. So at any time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove us from the equation and substitute us by someone else. In the sixth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. O you who believe, if any one of you chooses to turn his back to deen, then tell him, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will replace them by a nation. Now, let us reflect over the qualities and the attributes of these people that Allah says, I'll replace you with. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Allah says they will love Allah and Allah loves them. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Passionate to the believers and stern to the disbelievers. I think it's important at this point, in a climax where generally things in a context and in a climate where things are misconstrued, it's important that we understand this command of Allah in a holistic way. In Surah Mumtahina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah does not prohibit you from being kind and faithful and loyal to disbelievers who do not argue with you on the matters of faith, who do not expel you from your land. Allah uses the word tabarruhum, do a kind gesture towards them, give them a gift, receive a gift, do some form of act of nobility and kindness. Thereafter Allah goes on to say, إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَن تَوَلَّوْهُمْ. Allah does prohibit you from befriending those people who mock at your faith, who expel you from your land, who use derogatory terminologies against your prophet, who refer to the Quran in an unethical way. The prohibition with them is to befriend them. The scholars tell us it is vital that we draw a distinction between justice and befriending. So the prohibition is not to be just towards them. That is the explicit command of Allah, that we have to be just, fair, honest and transparent through every disbeliever at every time. Allah does say, do not befriend them, those that mock your faith. So, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. This again is the beauty of Islam. Let not the antagonism and the hostility of a nation provoke you to injustice. Let justice prevail, and that's the explicit command of Allah. With every disbeliever, nay, we have been compelled to deal justly with the animal kingdom. So it's important that we understand things in a holistic way. The famous hadith of Khubayb radiyallahu anhu, where prior to his execution, he borrowed a blade from those people that were to execute him, and a child innocently came and sat down in the lap of Khubayb radiyallahu anhu, and that's the beauty of a child, the innocence of a child. And the mother comes out and she sees that my child, فَدَرَجَ بُنَيَّةٌ لَهَا وَهِيَ غَافِلَةٌ, my little child has sat down in the lap of this man who is our enemy and tomorrow we'll execute him. So what's going to stop him from venting his anger against this defenseless child? And Khubayb radiallahu anhu sensed the panic on the face of that woman. So he said, أَتَخْشَيْنَ أَنْ أَقْتُلَهُ? Oh sister, do you think my Islam teaches me that because you're going to execute me, I innocently kill this child? I'm afraid you got your facts muddled. This is an innocent child and I will love this child, knowing very well that tomorrow it's the father of this child that will execute me. Oh, this is the beauty of Islam. So Islam compels us, commands us explicitly that we have to be just, fair and honest with every disbeliever. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing these people, Allah says, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. These people strive in the path of Allah and they do not fear the criticism of the critics. So they do not succumb to the flack of society. Now for our topic of discussion, that and that is simple marriages, this particular quality is vital, it's essential, it's integral, it's imperative. That we inculcate within us the consciousness of pleasing Allah and ignoring the comments of society. So if a brother beards himself and a sister veils himself, or a couple decides to have a simple marriage, لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةُ وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ وَلَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ فَإِنْ صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنُ وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. Oh my Lord, it's my passion, my bond with you becomes sweet, even if the price is that it becomes sour with others. Oh my Allah, I wish we can be in good terms, even if I become in bad terms with the entire creation. Allah, if I know you happy with me, I lack nothing. And if I know you angry with me, I have achieved nothing. Ibn Kathir has then quoted all the ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ exhorted the Sahaba to inculcate and imbibe and infuse within themselves this quality, that we look at the command of Allah and not the comments of society. There was a sister that phoned me last week in one of our neighboring towns. MashaAllah, from being a very, very liberal, moderate, outgoing woman, she's decided to now come onto deen and she's veiled herself. And like usual, the victim or the criticism that she gets the most is from the family itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says, Ibn Kathir makes mention of the narration, Awsani khalili sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi sab'in. He says, my beloved friend. Now again, this is a point of reflection. If you look at the Sahaba, whenever they make reference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they do so in a very intimate bond, in a very passionate expression. So he says, Awsani khalili, my beloved, my close, my bosom friend, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to do 7 things. And this is the general pattern and description of Sahaba. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Sa'altu habibi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an ismil a'zam. I asked my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the greatest name of Allah? And he told me, alayka bi akhiri surat al-hashr, that I should read the latter verses of, or the concluding verses of surat al-hashr. So I repeated the question, فَأَعَادَ عَلَيَّ, and the Prophet ﷺ repeated the same formula. The point that I'm saying is, the passionate words, when they use and they speak to the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu one day had an argument with his wife. Now, this is the topic of marriage, and obviously these things do happen. You know, they say when a husband holds his wife, holds the hand of a woman before marriage, it's out of love. And after marriage, it's out of self-defense. Before marriage, when he's holding her hand, it's out of love. And after marriage, it's self-defense. Anas, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had an argument, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home and he sensed the air was not conducive. And then he came, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was reclining in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to blend it with a degree of wit and calmness, and just to reduce the tension and the antagonism. So he said, Qum ya Aba Turab, O dusty man, stand up. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, I swear by Allah, I enjoy people calling me dusty man much more than when they call me Ali, because this was a title given to me by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyway, he said, I asked my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he gave me 7 advices. بِحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينِ وَالدُّنُوِ مِنْهُمْ To love the poor and associate myself with the poor. وَأَنْ أَنْظُرَ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ دُونِي وَلَا أَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقِي And to constantly look at those who own less than me, and never to look at those who own more than me. I mean, this is such an integral, imperative principle. If we can live our life by this one principle, just imagine the calmness it will bring to our life. Number 3, أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَصِلَ الرَّحِيمِ The Prophet ﷺ instructed me to continuously join ties with my relatives, even if they severe it. وَأَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقَّ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُرًّا To utter the truth even if it is bitter. وَأَلَّا أَسْأَلَ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا And never to ask the creation for anything. وَأَلَّا أَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ And he would continuously exhort me that when it comes to the obedience of Allah, I focus on the pleasure of Allah and I ignore the criticism and the flack and the comments of society in its entirety. The beauty of obeying Allah and the irony of trying to appease the creation. I'm not going to even say please the creation because you never do it. You never do it. The beauty of pleasing Allah is that if you had a simple marriage, which the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith I quoted before you, this is impressive to Allah when you had it for your first daughter. It's equally pleasing to Allah when you had it for your second daughter. And it's equally pleasing to Allah when you had it when your son got married. On the reverse, the irony of trying to appease the creation, the very lavish bash that you had for your daughter, you cannot repeat for your second daughter. Society will moan and groan about it. So the difficulty of trying to appease the creation is their joy and their displeasure is not standard, it's ever fluctuating. We all face the dilemma. You're returning from abroad, from overseas, you purchase an article, you invest your time, the difficulty of carrying it, the fear of customs, etc. Without the certainty that my wife will be happy. I don't know about it. You know, they say husband and wife were sitting, and then the husband, the mood was not too good, so the husband cracked a joke, and then the wife started laughing, and it blended the air. So sometime later, they had an argument. So the husband said, let me try again. So he cracked the same joke. She says, you're boring, man. You stay, you're monotonous. But when Allah is angry, if you say 2 rakat namaz, last year you did it, it pleases Allah. You do it today, it pleases Allah. And you do it a year later, it pleases Allah. His joy is definite, his displeasure is confirmed. So when we're trying to appease the creation, we are running behind a moving target. Ask any hunter, he will tell you. Moving target is the most difficult animal to shoot. You need a motionless animal and then you put your focus on it and then you target. But if it's a moving target, even if he's a, you know, competent hunter, for him also it will be difficult. When we're trying to appease the creation, it's a moving target. We never know in what lies their joy. The second thing is, and that's the most crucial thing, when nikah will become simple, Allah's qasam, zina will become difficult. Today, because we have made nikah difficult, people have exploited the situation, abused the situation, infiltrated the ranks, and they have made zina easy. So there's zina on the phone, there's zina on the net, there is emotional infidelity as they describe it, where a person describes his marital conflict with a female friend, and it's been termed as emotional infidelity. And it continues. Nikah, if we make, why will a person venture into zina when nikah is so simple? Again, it's the irony of our society. And unfortunately, it is the double standards of our intelligence that society stigmatizes the polygamist. Society stigmatizes the polygamist and with open arms accepts as pretty much the norm of society to flirt with a secretary at work, at clubs, on travels, etc. You know, in Madarik al-Tanzil, there is a point mentioned there in Surah Taghabun. Allama Nasafi rahmatullah alayhi writes something very amazing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the disbelievers, they had many objections, and one of the objections they raised was over the fact that a prophet was a human. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا وَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. What was the objection they raised? They said, very strange, very peculiar. A bashar, a human. يَهْدُونَنَا, he guides us. So it did not click with their logic. And it did not tie with their intelligence. And it did not gel with their understanding to see that a prophet is a human. On this point, he writes a very amazing thing. He says, أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ الْبَشَرِ وَمَا أَنْكَرُوا عِبَادَةَ الْحَجَرِ. أنكروا رسالة البشر وما أنكروا عبادة الحجر. That it did not make sense and logic to them that a human is a prophet. But the irony of their logic is it made perfect sense for them to believe a stone is a god. It did not make sense to them that a human is a prophet. A human must be a different creation. So their logic could not accept this here. But the irony of their logic is that it was in total acceptance that a stone and an object must be an idol, must be a deity and must be a god. Again, our society, we know how vehemently it opposes and what criticism it levels against a person. And just to give you, I'm not exhorting you and motivating you towards polygamy, but if we just look at the demographics of the world and we look at the pattern of Mother Nature, this was some statistics that were done in the late 80s. They say in Russia there are 10 million women more than men. In the United States there's 7.8 million women more than men. In the United Kingdom there is 4 million women more than men. Sweden, Spain, Australia, the population of women is much more than men. Now you say every man is with one woman. Not to speak about gays who don't want women. They again run into the millions. Look at the demographics of the world and look at the irony, the continuous aggression that is meted out against nations which leave women as vulnerable. If we do not accept them and embrace them and dignify them and honor them and bring them under a form of shelter through the sacred institution of nikah, then you can imagine the chaos it will cause and it is causing in society. The third thing, when something becomes common, it becomes easy, even if it's difficult. And when something becomes uncommon, it becomes difficult, even if it's easy. So to have a lavish occasion is a tall order and it's a big ask. But it has become easy simply because it has become common. It is, you invest, not to speak about the amount of money that is invested in it. But it has become easy simply because it has become common. Everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel. There's a barbecue tonight, there's a bride tomorrow, there's a get-together here, there's a happening there, there's an event there. On the reverse, to have a simple function is so easy. There's no cost. You don't have to paint your house. You don't have to get a tiler. You don't have to get a cook. You don't have to arrange a hall. It is so simple, but it has become difficult. Why? Because it has become uncommon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna a'zama an-nikahi barakatan aysaruhu ma'una." The marriage that constitutes the greatest amount of blessings. I think it is an accepted fact that we invite the pious to our occasions to grace the occasion on the pretext that their presence will attract blessings to the marriage. This is the accepted thing. That is why we invite the pious. We commence with a recitation. We terminate with a dua. And in between we might have a lecture. We flavor it with some relevant nasheeds, etc. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the easiest way of attracting barakat, and I think that is the single most ingredient which we lack in our marriages. Ma fi qalilin illa kathratuhu wa ma fi kathirin illa nafa'atuhu. What is blessings? What is barakat? When it descends in something that is minimal, it maximizes it. When it descends in something that is abundant, it makes it beneficial. المنافع الكثيرة بأسباب القليلة. maximum benefit with minimum provisions. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Inna a'zama an-nikahi barakatan, the marriage that will attract the greatest amount of blessings, aysaruhu ma'una, is the marriage in which the least amount of cost is incurred. Now there is another angle to debate this year. We know we have these halls adjacent to the masajid, and it is done obviously to secure a degree of revenue, to see the continuous maintenance of the masajid, which has its point and its merit. But I think it is a sight which is appalling to one and all. It is a sight which is painful to one and all, that you are coming into the masjid and you find women that are scantily dressed. You know, this is unfortunately the notion of dressing today. Unfortunately, you know, like one brother who is in the poultry game, he says, what is the definition? A chicken that is featherless, they call it a dressed chicken. A chicken that is featherless is called a dressed chicken. So that's how, unfortunately, for many people is the definition of dressing. They say that woman also, you know what, visitors came, so she's presented food, and she was not even clad. So the husband said, what's wrong with you? So she said, no, it's written in the recipe book, present without any dressing. So no, that's salad dressing, man. Now, it might be laughable, but Allah's Qasam, it's a painful sight. So what did Mu'adh ibn Jabal say? Ya ma'ashara al-muhajirin, innakum ubtulitum bifitnati al-dharra fasabartum, wa inni akhafu alaykum min fitnati al-sarra, ala wa hiya an-nisa, idha tahallayna bil-dhahab, wa labisna rita al-sham, wa asba al-yaman, fa at'abna al-ghani, wa kallafna al-faqir ma la yutiq. Listen, O Sahaba, I must tell you, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a'lamuhum bil-halali wal-haram, the greatest jurist of my ummah, the most knowledgeable when it comes to the issues of halal and haram. You, that is the galaxy and the group of Sahaba, initially you were tested with poverty and adversity, and I think you persevered adequately. But I foresee a challenge of prosperity coming your way. And let me be more explicit. He says, وَهِيَ النِّسَاءَ إِذَا تَحَلَّيْنَ بِالذَّهَبِ وَلَبِسْنَ رِيطَ الشَّامِ وَعَصْبَ الْيَمَنِ. I'm referring to the women who insist on wearing gold and the fine garments of Yemen and Sham, which today we translate as Dubai and Paris. Some say it's not Dubai, it's Tubai. And that's what it really is, Tubai, that's why you're going. فَأَتْعَبْنَا الْغَنِي وَكَلَّفْنَا الْفَقِيرْ مَا لَا يُطِيقْ. Such women will tire the wealthy and burden the poor. Economists are referring to the age in which we live as the age of turbulence. The age of turbulence. Our teachings exhort us to save water even if we make wuzu at the ocean. These are the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not a matter of how much I have. Now that we are hearing the tips of saving electricity, as deen and in Islam, how much hasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorted us to save? We know comfortably with how minimal water the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu. So this is the utterance and this is the prophecy of Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. Now let's look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam briefly and see how simple nikah was performed. In doing so, wallah, we will make zina difficult. When nikah will become easy, the person will not be left with option but to perform the nikah. Why should I sin when I can enter into a halal relation without any cost? Without any cost. The famous hadith that appears in Bukhari Sharif, which Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes, Babun ardul mar'ati nafsaha ala rajul salih, where a woman presents herself before a pious person. That's the tarjumatul bab. Now this was obviously a privilege of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a woman would come and offer herself. And this again we need to learn. It's time we move and mature. It's time we move and mature the norms of our society. So, we might have a daughter in our house and we are concerned about her marriage. It is no offense and it is no shame and it is no crime for me to mention to my brother, my friend, my neighbor. Umar ibn Khattab took his daughter after she, not physically, but meaning her proposal, after she was widowed, and he presented the proposal to Abu Bakr, to Uthman, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, my daughter has been widowed and I come and offer my daughter to you. In Islam, this is totally correct. On the reverse, we do not institute those measures, but we degrade the self-image of that girl. We compromise the self-esteem of that girl. And we make her doll up at functions. so that she can project herself, earn the wrath of Allah and His Nabi, and this is how we wish to commence the relation of our daughter. To the point, Allah forbid, that for many people they even use the occasion of a janazah to sit and rotate their gaze. This woman comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she says, "Jaitu ahabu nafsi laka ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, I have come to present myself." And like I've said previously, which woman wouldn't want to present herself? It's not that, I mean, if they're lining themselves up for the Swazi king, if the women are lining themselves up for the Swazi king, what a privilege to line yourself up for my Nabi and the master of humanity.
وَامْرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And if a woman comes and she presents herself to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you can accept her without dowry. And this is your exclusive prerogative. And this is amongst the multiple benefits and favors and privileges that Allah has afforded you. The Prophet ﷺ very modestly gazed at her. Now obviously there are chapters that tell us when we go and visit also, like one brother calls it here, he's a good friend of mine, he says, "I'm going for a samosa run." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "No, I'm going to see a girl today, so we call it a samosa run." The Prophet ﷺ modestly gazed at her. ثُمَّ تَعْتَعَ رَأْسَهُ. Then he dropped his head. His facial expressions were quite explicit that he declined. There was a person that was present, "Ya Rasulullah, zawwijniha." "O Prophet of Allah, I understand correctly, you disincline, I am ready." This is the beauty and the simplicity of nikah. Again, a dilemma in our society that we delay nikah because there was a funeral 3 weeks ago. Wallah, this doesn't have tie with, these are emotional things that we carry in. These don't have religious connotations. These don't have religious connotations. I remember when we went to Indonesia after the tsunami en route to Australia, and I stopped there, and the sight left an indelible impression. We were sitting at a place which many of us perhaps had seen on the postcards, absolute ruination and devastation, and homes were shattered, orphans, and you know, totally in absolute chaos. And adjacent to this place, there was a little small masjid, and subhanallah, nikah was being performed. In the heart of this catastrophe. And this is the teachings of Islam. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu had two wives and he lost them both in a plague on the same time, and immediately he went ahead. It is no act of disloyalty to remarry after the loss of your partner. It is no act of unfaithfulness to get married after there was a janazah in the family. We need to do what pleases Allah and not what we assume pleases Allah. You know, that is why the scholars say, what is the definition of pleasing Allah? It is what Allah says, when He says, how He says. So currently to bow to any human is the greatest crime. Yet on the reverse, the crime of the devil was he had not bowed to a human, because at that time the command of Allah was to bow to Adam. So it's neither bowing to a human that's a crime, nor not bowing is a crime. It is when Allah says that's the time it becomes a crime. So now bowing is a crime, and at that time, bowing to Adam was total compliance and total obedience. Islam has taught us how to mourn. Islam has taught us how to express our condolences. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, zawwijniha, get me married." The Prophet said, "Ma indak, what do you have?" Now when you say, what do you have, not what car you drive, where you live, what's your house. No, no. How much do you have for dowry? He said, "O Nabi of Allah, I got nothing." Nabi Sassam said, "Go look, maybe you'll find a ring somewhere." Walau khataman min hadid. He goes, he comes back, he says, "O Nabi of Allah, I got nothing. Hada izari. But I got this trouser of mine." The narrator says, "Walaysa lahu rida," and he had no shawl. Nabi Sassam said, "In labistahu, if you wear it, what will she have? If she wears it, what will you have?" He says, his pin drop silence. He's got nothing, he wants to get married. He sits down, hatta idha tala majlisuhu. His silence. Nabi Sassam sees the man wants to get married. Now unfortunately, this is our problem. We want to delay it. Why? Because the uncle is coming from America and the brother is coming. And you not looking, your wife is not looking, and they're hooking. And now there is absolutely nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, okay, how many surahs of the Quran do you know? He says, I know this surah, I know this surah. تَقْرَأُهُنَّ عَنْ ذَهْرِ قَلْبٍ. Have you committed it to memory? He says, yes, O Prophet of Allah, I've committed all these chapters to memory. اِذْهَبْ فَقَدْ مَلَّكْتُكَهَا بِمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. I have wedded you to this woman, and your dowry is that you will disseminate and you will impart these surahs of the Quran to your wife, educate her, promote her, dignify her. This is your dowry and your nikah is made. Jabir radiallahu anhu got married. Not only did he arrange his marriage in the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah is not even aware he got married and there's no offense. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a trace of yellowness on his clothes which was symbolic to marriage. Tazawwajta ya Jabir. Jabir, you got married? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. And then again, look at our Nabi. This is the beauty and the balance of our deen. Bikran am thayyiban. To a woman that was previously married or to a spinster? He said, no, O Nabi of Allah, I got married to a woman that was previously married. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, halla bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk. Why did you not go for an unmarried girl, a young girl, so that you could have some casual interaction with her and she could have some intimate time with you? Look at the maturity of those people. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I have young girls at home as well. So I needed a wife who could be a spouse to me and could be a motherly figure to my sisters as well. So there was a dual dimension, and maturity called for me to look for a woman with a degree of maturity that could attend to my sisters at the same time become a spouse to me. There was no offense. Olim walau bishad. Jabir, no problem. See if you can arrange a walima, even if it means a sheep slaughter. Thabit Banani says, أن أبا الدرداء ذهب مع سلمان يخطب امرأة من بني ليث. That Abu Darda radiallahu anhu took Salman radiallahu anhu and they went to propose at a woman from the Banu Layth tribe. So Salman radiallahu anhu said, you want to get married, I'll take your proposal. So he went inside, Vadakara Fadla Salman. He told these people that, you know what, Salman radiallahu anhu is a great man, and undoubtedly he was. This was not undue praise, this was justifiable praise. Not like us, unfortunately, we know how we market ourselves, and after that, it's the direct opposite. He said, Salman accepted Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, for Muhammadun sabaq al-Arab, wa Bilalun sabaq al-Habsha, wa Suhaibun sabaq al-Rum, wa Salman sabaq al-Faris. That the Prophet ﷺ was the first amongst the Arabs, and Bilal was the first amongst the Abyssinians, radiyallahu anhu, and Suhaib radiyallahu anhu, the first amongst the Persia, amongst the Romans, and Salman radiyallahu anhu, the first amongst the Persians to accept the truth. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba. The verse was revealed. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِ الْقَوْمَ غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. That if you rebel, Allah will replace you by a nation. Sahaba said, from where will be that nation, O Prophet ﷺ? He pointed to Salman. He said, it will be from the progeny of this man that is from Persia. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالثُّرَيَّ لَنَا لَهُ رِجَالٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ فَارِسٍ. If deen had to be as high as the stars, people from the Persian origin would have tracked deen there and located deen there and inculcated deen, even if it was so remote to reach. Now these were the virtues. So he goes there, he says, Salman was such a great man. But another thing of Sahaba was, there was no formality. So those people said, Alhamdulillah, brother Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, we heard everything that you said, but you know what, we don't want to get our daughter married to Salman. Whatever you said, no offense, we want to get her married to you. Amma Salman fala nuzawwijuhu walakinna nuzawwijuk. Now this again is the beauty. Qul ma as'alukum alayhi min ajrin wa ma ana min al-mutakallifin. Say, I am not those who adapt formality. You know, I was now in Canada and I mentioned this, and actually I must say this here. The thing that prompted me to this talk was a youngster in Canada. With the grace of Allah, he attended one of my programs, and before I left, he came to me and he said, I just want to whisper in your ears that I was going to get married in 2 weeks, and we had a lavish bash prepared, and myself and my fiance attended your program, and we came out and we have scaled down completely. We have in a basic thing, and jazakallah for the program. We're going to have a total simple thing. Make dua Allah gives us barakat. I said, subhanallah, a young man in North America, if he can do it, why can't the youth of Africa do it? So I was speaking to them and I said, this year, I said, you know, somebody asked you, brother, you want to propose, where are you? Are you originally from Gujarat? No, that's my dad. I'm actually of North America, you know, that's my dad. He comes, I don't know what you're speaking about. What's Gujarat? I have no formalities. Say it as it is. I've mentioned this of Bilal radiallahu anhu and my hair stands. When he went to propose, he took his brother and he said, أَنَا بِلَالٌ وَهَذَا أَخِي عَبْدَانِ مِنَ الْحَبْشَةِ كُنَّا ضَالَّيْنَ فَهَدَانَ اللَّهِ وَكُنَّا عَبْدَيْنَ فَأَعْتَقَنَ اللَّهِ إِن تَنْكَحُونَا فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَإِن تَمْنَعُونَا فَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. I am Bilal, this is my brother. We've come to propose to your daughter, uncle. We were two slaves. Allah liberated us. We are of Abyssinian origin. If you get us married, alhamdulillah. If you refuse, you are at liberty. Allah is sufficient. Thus, formalities have to come out of our society. So anyway, they said, we don't want to get our daughter married to Salman. We want to get her married to you. And they made the nikah in the house while Salman is waiting outside, radiallahu anhu. And when he comes out, the narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba under the chapter of nikah. He comes out and he says, now, Salman, radiallahu anhu, my apologies, no offense. This is what happened. Subhanallah, their hearts were clean. He said, my apologies. وَقَدْ قَضَاهَ اللَّهُ لَكْ Forgive me that I was pursuing a woman whom Allah had destined for you. Forgive me that I was pursuing a sister that Allah had destined for you. This was the simplicity of the nikah. You know, we were sitting one day and they were talking about cost of funerals. So they were non-Muslims. So I said, you know what? Just to tell you how simple our funerals are. So the brother heard non-Muslim. He said, but I must tell you, your marriages are not as simple as your funerals are. I must tell you, your marriages I've been to, they are very, very lavish and exorbitant. Recently I had a program somewhere and there was a brother from Damascus sitting there. He was visiting as well. He said that, subhanallah, currently in Syria, in Damascus, there is an organization that collects funds at every marriage and raises funds for the poor to afford them a marriage. What a beautiful initiative. That at every wedding they collect little money, encouraging people to have simple functions, to scale down, put the money together, and let's privilege somebody who doesn't have anything, call 20 people, give them a little small food and a little eating and feeding, so that they also feel honored. So it is an organization that helps and funds people get married. As I will explain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had an active hand in this. So there was a sahabi by the name of Abu Rabi'a radiallahu anhu, who was the diligent servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Kuntu akhdimu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he told me, "Ala tazawwaj ya Rabi'a, or Rabi'a, don't you want to get married?" So I said, "Ya Rasulullah, ma uridu an atazawwaj. I don't want to get married. Number one. Number two, ma indi ma yuqimu al-mar'a, and I don't have the funds to support a woman. And number three, ma uhibbu an yushghilani anka shay'un. I don't want anything to distract me from you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left him. Sometime later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, "Ala tazawwaj ya Rabi'atu. Rabi'a, you don't want to get married?" I said, I repeated the same thing. "O Prophet of Allah, I don't have the funds and I don't think I want to get married." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left me. Rabi'a radiallahu anhu said, then I reflected. ثُمَّ رَجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي وَقُلْتُ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِمَا يَسْلُحُنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah's Nabi knows what is better for me more than I know for myself. If He's telling me, why don't you want to get married? That means it's better for me to get married. If Allah's Nabi is telling me, Rabi'a, get married, that means there is wisdom. Now, wallah, if we can mature this in our life, that what Allah and His Nabi has ordained for me is good for me, our problems are solved. There is a narration in Muslim Sharif, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, that we were transacting in a particular thing in our farming, which we seen benefit in. He used the word benefit. And then the Prophet ﷺ came and prohibited us. So the words of Abdullah ibn Umar are really thought provoking. He said, "Nahana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an amrin kana lana nafi'a wa tawa'iyatullahi wa rasulihi hiya anfa'u lana." The Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from something beneficial. We seen clear benefit in it. But then compliance to the order of Allah and submission to the dictates of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is by far more beneficial for us. So Rabi'a said, I decided if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to tell me again, get married, I'm going to say I'm ready. It wasn't long, again the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala tazawwaj ya Rabi'a." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen a young boy, he said, "Are you married?" He said, "No." وَأَنْتَ شَابٌ مُوسِرٌ and you're young and you're healthy. He said, نَعَمْ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ Yes, O Prophet of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنْ إِخْوَانِ الشَّيَاطِينِ Then you are the brother of the devil. فَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنَّا فَفْعَلْ كَمَا نَفْعَلْ فَإِنَّ مِنْ سُنَّتِنَا النِّكَاحِ If you are part of us, a young, healthy, wealthy, active man like you, then why are you delaying? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ أَجْلِي إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ وَلِي طَوْلٌ عَلَى النِّكَاحِ لَتَزَوَّجْتُ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَزَبًا If I knew I'm going to die in 3 days and I was unmarried, I'll hasten to get married in the 3 days. I don't want to die and meet my Allah unmarried. So anyway, the next time the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا تَزَوَّجْ يَا رَبِيعَ أَوْ رَبِيعَ You get me married. I said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مُرْنِي بِمَا شِئْتْ Go for it, I'm ready. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, انطلق إلى آل فلان, go to this family. And tell them, إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمركم أن تزوجوني فلانا. Now there were those Sahaba whose health, whose wealth, whose property, whose daughters were at the total disposal of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, the Ansar would not wed their daughters until they had inquired if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had inclination. When they had certainty that he had no inclination, then they would go ahead and get them married. So even their daughters were at the disposal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, this sahabi got ready. We learn another lesson from here. We encourage people to get married when the youngster say, uncle, I'm ready. Then you must have your plan B in place. You say, get married. And then he says, okay, uncle, organize and you never get back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, get married. When he got ready, immediately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, intaliq ila ali fulan. Obviously, we cannot issue with the authority. We can make a suggestion and a proposal, nothing more. Go to them and say, the Prophet of Allah has sent you and he wants you to get me married to your daughter. Anyway, the Sahabi comes home, knocks on the door and he says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sent me and he instructs you that you get me married to your daughter. Subhanallah, the sentiments at home collectively, مَرْحَبًا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَرْجِعُ رَسُولُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِحَاجَتِهِ Welcome to Allah's Nabi and equally welcome to the Messenger of Allah's Nabi. Allah's Nabi and His Messenger will only leave from our house with what they want. They will only leave with what they want. Now this is imperative that we understand. We know the famous incident of the Sahabi by the name of Julaybib. The Prophet ﷺ told a Sahabi by the name, one Sahabi, one Ansar, زَوِّجْنِي إِبْنَتَكْ Get me married to your daughter. He said, O Nabi of Allah, by all means. What an honor. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, No, I don't want her for myself. I want her for someone. He said, أُشَاوِرُ أُمَّهَا Then I'll have to speak to the mother. If it's for you, O Nabi of Allah, it's a done deal. But if it's someone else, I need permission at home. Anyway, he goes home. He uses the same methodology. He says, The Prophet of Allah is proposing to your daughter, my wife. She said, It's over. What you asking for? He says, Wait, not for you. Not for himself. He's proposing to our daughter for someone else. Who's the someone else? So the Sahabi says, his name is Julaybib. So the wife says, Julaybibun ibnuhu. Is Julaybib the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son? So the Sahabi says, no, it's not his son, it's one of his companions. She says, does that? No, we're not interested. Tell him, sorry, apologies. Apologies. The girl overhears the discussion. She says, Man khatabani ilaykum. I don't know who's the person. Tell me who sent the proposal. So the father said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, then what's the debate for? وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ When Allah and His Nabi has decreed it, then how can you ask for an option in the matter? I'll think over it, I'll let you know, let me reflect. Anyway, he goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, O Prophet of Allah, my daughter is ready. The nikah is performed. Now this is an important principle that I want to share. This girl didn't invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua. She complied with what she had to do. His heart made dua by her submission. And he said, Allahumma subba alayha al-khayru subba wa la taj'al 'aysha kadda. Allah, she responded on my request. Allah, goodness and happiness and tranquility and prosperity. Let it perpetually descend on this girl. And let never her or her progeny see any pain or misery. Ansar say, we did not see a more prosperous woman than this woman. Now you can call the pious that are living and revive the pious that have passed away at your function, and ask them to invoke the mercy of Allah. And then you have a lavish bash. The collective presence of the pious cannot undo the wrath of Allah by you provoking it with your own extravagance. So anyway, he is happy, they agree. He comes back to the Prophet ﷺ, said, the Prophet ﷺ said, Rabi'a, you are very sad. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ataytu qawman kiraman zawajuni wa altafuni wa ma sa'aluni albayina. O Prophet of Allah, what good in-laws, man, I can't ask for better. What good in-laws. Brothers, I just want to share something. One brother brought this to my notice. I think it's common. Husband and wife, we all make jokes. Husband will make jokes of woman, woman will make jokes of men. Woman say, you know, there's the shortest story in the world. There was a woman, a man proposed to her, and she refused, and she lived happily ever after. And then the joke of a man, what do you say? Once upon a time, many years ago, there was a woman.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.